I'm David Fair with this week's installment of Issues of the Environment. We're now just a little over a week removed from an absolutely scary incident. Toxins from a Lake Erie algae bloom forced water shutoffs to 400,000 people in northern Ohio and portions of Monroe County. Now, experts early in the summer had predicted massive algae blooms on Lake Erie, and yet the situation seemed to catch Ohio officials by surprise. Well, we all know the result now. Ever wonder if that could happen here? It wasn't so long ago Ford Lake was being overtaken with massive algae blooms. How and why is this happening, and what can we do about it? Here to help us with those questions is Dr. Gary Fahnenstiel. Dr. Fahnenstiel, is a research scientist at Graham Sustainability Institute at the University of Michigan. And Dr. Fahnenstiel, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Oh, you're entirely welcome.
Now, I know you were expecting algae blooms on Lake Erie again this year, but were you able to foresee its impact on the water supply?
No, I will have to say that was a little surprise. And yes, we did forecast that we would have another significant year of cyanobacteria blooms on Lake Erie, but the drinking water advisory was a real surprise. And why it was a surprise is, you know, Western Lake Erie and the communities living in that area have had large blooms in the past, 2011, 2013, and these communities have dealt with this issue in the past, at both, you know, like the Toledo, Monroe, but also like the Erie Islands. And so it was a real surprise to see that they would have a drinking water advisory. We had done quite a bit of research, you know, probably in the last decade when I was with NOAA, looking at microcystin concentrations in water intakes, you know, before and after blooms, after they were water was processed, and we really never saw a problem, even during the height of the big bloom in 2011. So it was a big surprise to see it happen on this bloom, which is large, but not certainly of historic proportions.
So what could have gone different this year to produce this microcystin that is so toxic?
That's a good question. I will have to say I'm not in southeastern Michigan. I'm up at UP, so I really wasn't there and real familiar with this specific bloom. But if I had to guess, it would be something unusual about the bloom or weather conditions surrounding that bloom. Maybe it was a unique strain. Maybe something happened really to get the bloom and the toxins down to the water intake. The one thing that always makes it good for water managers is that the intake is located off the bottom. Like in this location, it would be, you know, 3 to 5 feet off the bottom. And so that's like 20, 25 feet from the surface. These algae, these microcystis, they tend to form surface scumps up on the surface and accumulate and get the real high toxins up on the surface. So there's a distance between the highest concentrations of microcystin and the water intake. And that's usually pretty sufficient to reduce concentration significantly. So something could have happened, you know, a storm, something to get that those algae down to the intake, or it could have been a somewhat unique algae or something on the water filtration side too, as you know, basically they could have had something happen that they weren't able to process it or something like that. But typically it's usually pretty easy to remove the microcystins because they react very well to activated carbon, so you can typically remove them.
I guess the bigger issue is the cause of the algae blooms themselves. Now, the overwhelming majority opinion is it's from the high levels of phosphorus and nitrogen found in agricultural runoff. Any doubt in your mind? Because there sure seem to be a lot of Ohio politicians that still need convincing.
No, I think certainly that's one of the main drivers. But I think you have to realize you're talking about what we call a biological event, which is kind of like a meteorological event. You're like a storm or something like that. A lot of things have to come together to really create the conditions for it to have this large bloom, and phosphorus is certainly one. But Lake Erie, there's a lot of phosphorus in the system already. And the other factors that were huge is basically, and you might wonder about this, you know, Western Lake Erie has had blooms for well over 200 years, big blooms all the time. In the last decade or so, those blooms have been really what we call monospecific, or really just one species, this Microcystis originosa. And that has happened because of the mussels, the dreissenid mussels, the zebra mussels in Western Lake Erie, and now some quagga mussels. Through selective filtration, they favor these large noxious colonies by rejecting them, and then they filter out the good algae. So the response that we're getting to nutrients today in Western Lake Erie is really driven by the mussels, okay, and their ability to influence the community. And the second thing is climate change. Climate change has really changed the responsive system as well. We have a longer growing season, this longer summer season typically. We have more severe storms followed by calm, which really are good setups for these algae as well. So I think all those three factors really had to come together to really create this bloom and have high concentrations of algae.
You are listening to Issues of the Environment on 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair. We're talking algae blooms and contaminated water with Dr. Gary Fonensteel. Gary is a research scientist at the Graham Sustainability Institute at the University of Michigan. Now, we have a lot of water resources right here in Washtenaw County that we value tremendously. The Huron River, Barton Pond, where Ann Arbor gets its water, even Ford Lake. These are entirely different water bodies than Lake Erie. Is the potential for something like what's happening in Lake Erie? Could it happen here in our water bodies?
Well, it's always a possibility, but I don't think the probability is tremendously high because I think most water managers are on top of this issue. I mean, this harmful algal bloom issue has been out there for a while, you know, the cyanobacteria blooms. There's some evidence that people have suggested that they actually are increasing for some of the climate change reasons that I mentioned. But I don't think it's overwhelming or surprising anybody. I'd be really surprised if it would happen somewhere else. You know, in the Great Lakes region, you know, Western Lake Erie, Saginaw Bay, and Green Bay are the three areas that we typically would have large algal blooms. And if you look historically, Western Lake Erie is the only one of those three environments where the blooms actually are increasing over time. You know, from, let's say, you know, 2000 or 1990s till present, the last 3 to 5 years have been really bad for Western Lake Erie, but they haven't been bad in Saginaw Bay or Green Bay. So it is something's unique about Western Lake Erie.
You know, there's just something that crossed my mind that I haven't heard much discussion about. Now, we know that Ann Arbor gets its water from Barton Pond, Ypsilanti and surrounding townships from the Ypsilanti Community Utilities Authority, water supplied by Detroit Water and Sewerage. Most of the rest of the county gets water from underground aquifers. Are these aquifers at risk for this kind of event? Is algae blooms underground possible?
No, not these type of blooms. You know, no, algae needs sunlight. That's a big thing. That's why it's not going to happen down there. You're not going to have problems down there. And like I said, I think the biggest thing that I would say to people is that this was really an unusual event. And I'm not sure exactly why, as I pointed out, but I wouldn't be widespread panic because these things have been out there. People are, the water intake people are pretty competent to remove them and stuff like that. I don't think this is a sign of things to come.
Well, beyond the event itself, we had talked a little bit about phosphorus and nitrogen to a lesser degree earlier. We are seeing more extreme weather events, unmanageable amounts of precipitation. We have extraordinary flooding in Wayne and Macomb counties down here now from storms that hit Monday. Not to build into it more than what it is, but with climate change, we expect more of these kinds of events and more water, more runoff, more danger, right?
Well, that's one of the scenarios, absolutely. And I would say I'm not a climatologist, but the scenario is that we would have more and frequent severe storms. Absolutely.
So we're looking at solutions now. And as our time together starts to run short, what is it going to take to accommodate the issues you've brought up, the zebra mussels, the quagga mussels, the phosphorus and nitrogen? Is it better regulatory policy, different farming practices, improved water and sewer infrastructure? What elements need to be in place to prevent these kinds of events?
Well, I think you hit the right thing. It's certainly phosphorus because we really can't control mussels. I mean, they're there. And climate change, you know, it's so far out there of us having any impact on climate change. That ball's already rolling. So the issue really that we can control and regulate is phosphorus. And while it's true that phosphorus is phosphorus, that any phosphorus is a problem, right now in Western Lake Erie, the majority of phosphorus is coming in from agricultural sources. And that's because recent changes in farming practices, going to corn, winter fertilizer application, no-till, stuff like this. So there's things that can be done, and I think if we're going to have any control over these blooms and try to limit them, that's going to be the mechanism, you know, to really go at, is basically controlling the non-point phosphorus coming off agricultural sources. I don't think there's any doubt that's the one controlling mechanism we have.
Dr. Fonensteel, thank you so much for your time today. It's truly appreciated.
Okay, great. Well, you have a great day, too.
Thank you. Yep. That is Dr. Gary Fonensteel. He is a research scientist at Graham Sustainability Institute at the University of Michigan. I'm David Fair, and you've been listening to Issues of the Environment. It's a weekly feature produced in partnership with the Washtenaw County Environmental Health Division, and it's heard only on 89.1 WEMU.